challenged as much as Ian did. Did you hear your father being challenged today?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fun. Fun to hear.
Usually
that.
Reiner's blowing people's minds. But fuck, when you get to deal with Ion, he's blowing your mind. See, that's what's good about Ion. He can blow your mind more than you can blow their mind. Eric Satori, or whatever his name is, would have a tough time with Ion, or would like Ion, maybe. What's his name? Eric Satos?
Eric Izzo.
Izzo. Izzo.
Silent
okay.
T.
Oh, yeah.
E-S-O-T.
Esoteric backward. Yeah. S-O. So, okay, Roxy, are you back? What? Oh, did I say something grammatically wrong?
No, you're right. Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah.
You got it. It's a silent T. That's an insight from one of my old childhood friends brought up under the same avant-garde circumstances as I was.
Right. Okay, Roxy, are you back?
Yes.
Okay, let's do DO5, which will deal with all these issues. I'm going to read the Zappa's proposal for this. Okay. So, in his autobiography called The Real Frank Zappa Book, 1989 it came out, he describes a proposal for a World Cup football opera. So, it's around the World Cup in Italy in 1990. And he called it Diofa, which means God lies. And it is listed under his chapter 18 called Failure. He talks about all the failures in his life, and he doesn't have a problem about being a failure, but this was something that didn't happen. So here's what he proposed. Zappa, and this is a Zappa fan site outlining this, Frank Zappa would have proposed to write, produce, and direct a special entertainment event for the conclusion of the World Cup football finals in the summer of 1990 to be financed by the city of Milan and the Italian Football Committee. It would have been an opera with the premiere performance in La Scala, broadcast via satellite worldwide. So he's going to, there's the Egyptian thing, putting on the whole world. It's got to be satellite art. It's got to use the latest medium to do this. The idea, and this is before the internet, the idea was to produce a script in English, Italian, German, French, Spanish, Portuguese, and Russian. And this is just as the wall's going down, the end of the Cold War. The performance would include dancing in many styles, special effects, and a fashion show, an actual live fashion show in the middle of the performance. We'll hear more about that in a minute. The musical and company would include full orchestral settings, chamber music settings, ethnic, choral, and instrumental setting, executed via digital sampling and digital tape playback, advanced electronic music techniques, and rock music, in brackets for the rock music, in styles ranging from doo-wop vocals to heavy metal. The music would be partly acoustic, partly amplified, and in some instances, mimed to digital playback. So that's what Roxy was telling us. He's going to play the whole history of music, pre-techno, pre-digital, pre-analog.
He's doing the
everything.
Louvre.
The Louvre, that's right.
All
and he does
time,
talk
all spaces, all places, all elements.
Right. He's going to include everything. Because he says composition, to be a composer, all you have to do is do something, like move the ashes around your ashtray and say that's a composition, it's valid. Whether you make any money, that's another problem, but. So he meant any activity when he says music is the best at the end of that 10-line poem. What is music? That's my first question to him, which Bob Marshall asked, you know. Right. And he said, Zappa said he didn't have that much education in art history, so he never heard about Dada until someone told him that he was a Dadaist, and he looked into it. Oh, yeah, I guess I am, you know, but he didn't know what the Dada people. Right. Okay, so he's going to have the ear, every kind of ear. Then he said, it says, Frank Zappa was to write the story and lyrics, supervise the set design, costumes, and special effects. The city of Milan, through its sister city arrangement with Chicago, would engage the Chicago Symphony to provide the orchestral backing. The La Scala Orchestra would be represented by selected instrumental soloists. So he's going to have, for some reason, he wanted to include Chicago and their symphony and just parts of the La Scala, right? Selected instrumental soloists from the La Scala Orchestra. The La Scala chorus would be featured. Zappa was to select the stage director, the orchestral conductor, and the featured vocal soloist. The negotiations for their fees would be the responsibility of the city of Milan. Their fees were not included in the proposal or budget. The AUS designer, what's that? AUS. There's nothing for that. I don't know what capital A. Oh, A, the American designer. Maybe that's what it means. It has a capital A. The American designer and staging company would be selected by Zappa to prepare the blueprints for the sets and special effects. The sets would be constructed in Milan in the La Scala Scenic Facility under the supervision of the U.S. designer. The special effects would be constructed in the U.S. and shipped to Milan. So then there, that's a general statement. Then there's the actual words of what Frank said in the instructions. It says, quote, "What follows is not a complete description of the event, only a collection of ideas to begin with. All material is subject to irrational modification," based on the moment, right? So he's including spontaneity terrorism in the thing. "All material is subject to irrational modification. The theme of the opera is," quote, "millions," this is the theme, "millions of people believe football is God. But it is said, at least in Torino, someplace in Italy, God is a liar," which is what the meaning of Diofa is. So Zappa says, "To present this theme, that football is God, but God's a liar, we propose to use a large mechanical version of the marionette character shown in the logo of the Italian Football Committee." So some football committee logo of the wonderful world of sport. It's going to be the marionette football god, big letters, in the role of football god. This football god marionette, is afflicted with an uncontrollable nasal growth syndrome, pioneered by Pinocchio, perfected by Reagan, President Reagan. So the nasal growth syndrome is in the story for Uncle Meat in the late 60s, where Room and the Jets, as they get more powerful, their noses grow. Okay? So he's retrieving from, it's all part of this, he's redoing Uncle Meat, updating it. And so the football, this logo, but it's a marionette, it's an animated logo. Football God has uncontrollable nasal growth syndrome, pioneered by Pinocchio, 200 years ago, perfected by Reagan. Whenever a football god tells a lie, a horrible soft nose grows out of the soccer ball, which forms the head of the logo. So it's a logo with a soccer ball, and a floppy nose grows out of the soccer ball. With each new lie, another monk appears, singing in Sardinian ethnic choral style. The writer's laughing. Another monk appears. So he's got local chemical body culture, right? Sardinian ethnic, it has to be Sardinian ethnic choral style. Each new lie, another monk appears, struggling to hold up football god's repulsive nose with inexplicable religious machinery. So it's the monk propping up a Catholic church, but the modern church is now a football environment. So he's showing how people had shifted their spiritual drives into a pagan religion known as sports or football. So the monk singing and sings. Now, this is interesting. McLuhan says that we all live by music. So the singing monk or any pop star, Mariah Carey, is propping up the religious machinery of modern entertainment godhood. Okay, that's my translation. And it's a repulsive nose. To conclude the production in a way that allows football god to have a tiny nose and live happily ever after. So Zappa proposes a cure for the football god, who has this problem that every time it lies, his big fucking nose flops out of itself. So the goal is to get him back to a tiny nose and live happily ever after. To do that, Zappa proposes this. As soon as the Italian national team is selected for the big world championship, a rock video is made, and he says in brackets, in the style of the Super Bowl shuffle. So some kind of similar, Super Bowl stylistics. Zappa uses the word shuffle in the Grand Wazoo story. In the end, they come forward and they perform a shuffle. Was it a certain kind of music? Jazz? What is shuffle? You know? Anybody know?
Yes.
Are you still there, Roxy?
Like, Yes, you have like very precise rhythms that sound robotic if you don't have the shuffle. If you just go like tack, 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 that doesn't have shuffle. But if, like in jazz, when you have this swing, that is not like so precise or robotic, that's the shuffle.
The shuffle is what's added to make it less robotic?
Yeah, it's like the human feeling that
okay.
It's not completely perfect, but it's more interesting. It's not so boring to hear when you just
right.
go very precise.
Hey, Gail, could you shut that door? Then, yeah, because the neighbors are going to start hearing this, and then we all get sued and kicked out. So we don't like the neighbors hearing what we're doing. because it's very quiet now. What? I know, it's okay, but it's now getting very quiet at 9:10 here. What the hell have you done? It should just, you just lift it up and pull it. Yeah. And so this voice carries out over the whole compound, right, once you get into this quiet. So, so they propose, as soon as the Italian national team is selected, a rock video is made in the style of the Super Bowl shuffle, using the players in uniform to render an Anglo-Italian rap version of Michael Jackson's I'm Bad. So there's Zappa taking the most archetypal theme of the 80s, Michael Jackson's I'm Bad, and making the team sing that for a corny mainstream Super Bowl video. So that's what they have to do. And he means they actually would. The actual team members would do that. You know what I mean? There's not a fake team member. The actual team. So you have to get the agreement of the Italian soccer team. This will be made into an instant hit. He's going to demand it to be made a hit. This will be made into an instant hit by all Italian radio television stations. Now, he knows it could become a hit because it's a novelty, right? So everybody will like it for a while, like one of those We Are the World songs or something. So this will be made into an instant hit by all Italian radio and television stations. So it implies it would become a hit anyways. Doesn't have to be imposed. At the end of the opera, the football god sings his hit. So you make it a hit in the actual experience of the world, in the media world, in the global theater, and it'll be a key point at the end of the song, at the end of the opera, by the football god. At the end, so see how he's incorporating, making sense in the public every day, the word makes the market, media content, what goes on in the global theater every day, regardless of us, has to be put into the visual framework of an opera. It has to be brought in as part of one of the worlds that's going on. You know, if you're going to make an image of your time, mirror today's society, he's doing it. You must have the process of making the corporate entertainment included in the play. Let's see. Football is God sings his hit.
In the
go ahead.
Page 39 of Cliché and Archetype.
Yeah.
Marshall McLuhan seems to be talking about the DFA, and he talks about symbolism is the art of the missing link.
Yes.
As the word implies, symbol line is thrown together. Yeah. It is the art of syncopation. That's the shuffle. It is.
Right.
It is the basics of electricity and quantum mechanics, as Lewis Carroll understood via Lobachevsky and non-Euclidean geometries.
Right.
The chemical bond, as understood by Heisenberg, Unlinus Pauling, is resonance, echolant, the world echolant, of acoustic
right.
space whose center is everywhere and whose margin is nowhere. So Marshall McLuhan is telling how in the electric environment all cliches and archetypes are mixed together in this xenochrony.
And juxtaposition, exactly. What did he say there? Symbolism comes from symboline, which means to throw together. But then if you look at one place, he says it's thrown together but broken apart at the same time, or it's made up of fragments. So this interplay between putting things together and keeping them separate is a tactile interplay in the symbol in the electric age. So the global theater is a symbolic collage. What?
Quantum physics or music is also like
we're advertising.
Like
yeah, it's the word makes the market, and Ian was describing the content of the word, the stylistics of the, I mean, McLuhan was describing the stylistics of the world in all genres, all forms of communication. That's the common point of how we live entirely by music, as defined by the resonant interval. Yes, is he calling about some other things? Okay. So, Lauren, you still with us, Lauren? Did he get knocked off?
I'm here.
Okay. So you're following this. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, good. So Football God sings his hit, and he's assisted by the monks, who turn out to be the Italian national team in disguise. So the monks somehow get shifted to the actual team, sports team that makes the video. So the discipline of sport is an update of Christian discipline, you know, Christian monk discipline. It's a Puritanism in the sport world. It's the modern religion, role model for some kind of integrity or something. That's supposed to benefit the community.
Yes, and okay, it's also like a parody of these things we see now, like the Pope and the Knights of Malta and all these things happening in politics. And it's like, what do they have to do with all the financial system and politics? Yes,
right.
It's like
they're in the resonant interval.
Exactly like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Clichés bashed up against archetype, like Ian goes on about glib cliché archetype. So the, let's see. As the football god sings this Italian national team sports monk's hit, and he sings, I'm bad. Now, wait a minute. What's going on there? We can't have interruptions. We all must be paying attention. you're not even listening, Gail. Come on, concentrate to the point. You don't even know what happened next. Don't let Carolyn interrupt you. She's the retarded one, the one who's wandering. She's the idiot, the private person who doesn't engage in this stuff. She wanders around in her own world. Are you listening, Carol?
Yes, Bob, and you're not going to be fed then.
Oh, because I called you an idiot?
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the club. I resemble that remark. Right?
I know you do.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally.
We know you're going to feed me. Okay. Okay. So
we just talk about the meaning of the word, just not being interested.
That's right. Right, not being interested, the idiot, the distracted. In around the time of Sassetta, Reiner, there's a painting in Through the Vanishing Point where the medieval peasants are walking along and they're following the knight and they're all looking in different directions, like Stockhausen in the classroom. And McLuhan says, see, the medieval oral peasant has no linearity. They do not look in a line and follow the guy. They're walking along however they're forced to, and they're all looking off abstractly at other spaces. That is the meaning of the painting, he says. So that's oral people, can't be guided. But the idiot is a guy who starts to be look away by looking at a book or a manuscript in the Greek society. It was not a problem that everybody's looking in their different spaces in an oral society because we were bound by speech. But once you had print to fragment you from the speech tyranny, then you're like distracted squared. What?
Students,
yes. Yeah, so the chip body does that today. You could paint that painting with everybody looking at their and ignoring the teacher.
And we'll watch those thumbs get bigger.
Right. They lie as they type bullshit.
That's Angela Merkel on the day of the
Yeah, Angela Merkel. Right, the giants. That's how we become giants again, giant feet.
Be a Medusa of thumbs coming out of the little hand.
Yeah.
The palm device.
The typist lies. It's interesting, the visual dynamic is you get fragmented by looking at a book. Actually, and everybody could look at the same book, but they do it separately, but it's different from the distracted oral guy. Two different kinds of distraction. Okay, so, is that okay? Yeah. So he's singing, the football god singing, I'm bad, you know it, you know it. I don't know if that's the exact words, maybe it is, from Michael Jackson's song. Well, they're saying they're doing it, so it must be. As he's doing that, God, the football god's nose shrivels to Jacksonian proportions. Now what? That's Michael Jackson. Remember he had a flat little nose, didn't he? So Michael Jackson is the standard for the tiny nose. So God's nose shrivels to Jacksonian proportions, and he, the football god, dances away. So that's that's a quick summary of the fucking stupid play. And so that, but we know it's more than the stupid content. So he says, so then the writers of this outline say, Dio Fa, the logo for the opera itself, as it would appear on posters and advertising, was to be licensed as part of the opera plot to a mysterious Soviet clothing designer who plans to unveil the new line of Soviet fashions via satellite during the most dramatic part of the opera. Now, isn't that neat? You got a dramatic opera happening, and he's going to have an actual clothing line interrupt the opera and try to get audience to buy it. Now, that's live multimedia parallel world accuracy, right? So he's showing the juxtaposition of culture and business in the old terms. So,
and also things like video games or fashion trends or news, things happening in the Outer Kingdom that actually are really reflecting something else, like
yeah, distractions
in movies. No, or they might be a way in which maybe the parallel world people communicate, like they would put something in the movie or in the news, some numbers, some cliches, some archetype that communicates to them something, and maybe the rest of the population doesn't really know what is suddenly this trend about this or this character appearing a lot or a specific word.
Yeah.
Things that appear in the Outer Kingdom suddenly and are repeated and repeated, and one wonders what is this, the meaning of this thing really appearing? What are they talking to? What are they really communicating? Like numbers or dates or colors.
Well, they're trying to avoid press conferences. You know, like Alex Jones and those guys, the conspiracy people, will say that George Bush, when he comes out, he would touch his nose to the left side of his nose, and that meant something to his inner cabal. And so he knew he couldn't have any press conference because there was different intelligence agencies taping him. So there was a communication of agreed-upon meanings of the results of conferences going on in the press conferences. So the meaning is to avoid publicity. You know, so why are they got some symbol they throw in there? Because they are triggering group behavior without being caught, you know, without being taped. Because the world, there was no secrets in the world. So that would be one practical reason why secret communication would be done right in front of everybody in press conferences.
Yes, right? Or the whole thing with Trump, like many people are recognizing that what he's doing is not absurd or bad. Actually, it is good for the people. It's against the system.
Right.
And the press says the contrary, but when he's quoting the Batman movie or the Terminator movie, for many people that's completely funny or absurd. But yes, but for me it's really ironic that he says this transition is not about the transition of the power from one party to other party. It's the transition of power from Washington, D.C., to the people.
It's yeah, like, quite a statement.
Like, if yeah, the power.
Yeah.
They're not using other words, but
okay.
The power.
Right. So Zappa is describing what Trump is up against. Whatever agenda he's doing, he's going to be interrupted by Fashion Week or what's coming up next, Super Bowl. Super Bowl's coming up in a couple of days, I think. There's all these other environments going on, or terrorism. So DEOFA, the logo for the opera itself, is going to be marketed by a mysterious Soviet clothing designer who plans to unveil the new line of Soviet fashions via satellite during the most dramatic part of the opera. So then it says, Zappa would attempt to make an actual licensing and manufacturing deal with the Soviets for real clothes, the capital letters, for real clothes to be offered worldwide under the DEOFA label. Now, Zappa was talking to the Soviets in 89-90 when he's planning this. He had started a new business called Why Not. And it was a consulting firm trying to help the Soviets get into American capitalism without falling back into communism. So he's actually showing just what he's doing as part of the plot. And he's trying to help Soviet businesses. And remember, Chief of Staff Baker, James Baker, went to the Czechs and said, if you have Zappa as a cultural ambassador, you will not be able to do business in America. So Zappa told the prime minister, who was a friend of his, president, prime minister, forget his name, Vaclav Havel, that he would withdraw, Vaclav Havel, he would withdraw from the role of cultural ambassador on behalf of Czechoslovakia so that they would not cut off from American business. He knew, you know, his ego, he wasn't an egomaniac saying, no, we'll stand alone against James Baker. And he says James Baker did that because Frank humiliated Baker's wife in the Rock censorship hearings in September 1985. That's why James went after Frank, James Baker. So Zappa is involved with doing this business right around the time that Baker is going to stop it. So he would attempt to make an actual licensing deal for real clothes to be offered under the DEOFA label, with the garments making their debut as part of a choreographed fashion show with ballet and ethnic dancers as models, and the Soviet designer appearing on stage to be hugged by them after the clothing is shown. So it's a fake, you know, celebrating designer. The actors and everybody have to hug this guy after the fashion show. Now here's the list of other characters in the opera: Galileo, Tesla, Newton, Da Vinci, Mussolini, Hitler, Stalin, and Elvis Presley as the devil. Now, that's a list of ionic people if ever there was one, right? Ion says Galileo never died. He's very important. Galileo is following what we're doing. Tesla died, but we are building on Tesla's work. Newton, he was a local guy. Da Vinci, he actually...
he was into the Mr. Landscape. He wrote...
Oh, that's right. Newton was into the occult. Yeah, maybe we should investigate Newton a little bit. And Da Vinci, we visited his castle and all that.
Newton was the last of the magicians.
Right, yeah, before full arithmetic calculus takeover. Da Vinci, in terms of the trivium, Newton had still a bit of the grammarian in him, but after him, the dialectics, as mathematics, took over for a couple hundred years. But Da Vinci is very involved with Ion. Mussolini and Hitler are very interesting characters in Iondom. We don't have much on Stalin. And Ion, his first public fucking recording, where I interviewed him on 10 short subjects, as soon as we get our website done in 2009, he commented on Elvis Presley. And he said Elvis Presley added new nature to the universe. You know, added songs, creativity. So he's the devil. So all those guys are in there. Great Britain was to be represented by dancers dressed as football hooligans. misinterpreting signals. See, now there's the, we were talking about political signaling through press conferences. Misinterpreting signals from the Queen. Now, we know how Ian makes a big deal out of the Queen, right? And she's waving a mechanical cardboard arm.
Yeah.
Viewed through the window of a passing car. So she's driving by with a mechanical arm waving and giving signals to the hooligans to do whatever they're going to do, and they misinterpret them.
There's, yes, and for 2 weeks, Ian mentioned the Trafalgar Square, and then he said the Queen says hi, and then Trump is now visiting the Queen.
Oh, is he? Is he visiting the Queen?
Yes, he was in London.
Right, and you and the Queen said hi to you?
Last week.
Yes, the Queen was saying hi to Roxy. Oh, yeah, she likes Roxy's castle, unearthing the secret castle history. The Queen liked that. Right, Roxy? That's what I was
saying. Well, she's... That's the thing. They have an understanding of the hidden ground of many things we see, like...
Right. Yeah.
Like
now, all that we're doing here, I'm going to... Now, Bob's going to add... What? The occult.
He's making this opera about the football god.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's behind all these things we think is the football god? Or
right.
What's behind the Louvre? What's behind all these things? We
all
just
these
see
people,
the,
Galileo, the first, Tesla, Newton, Da Vinci.
Yeah, the first meaning of yeah, most people just read what in Notre Dame they showed, the Catholic stories, but there's a lot of levels of information besides the Christian quotes of the Bible. There is a lot of things. But most people just read the linear first level.
Right.
Of
and
the
they
Jews.
Are, the Nostradamus predicting Galileo, Tesla, Newton, Da Vinci, Hitler, Stalin, Elvis Presley. The thing is that the... I think I forgot. You got these characters, all important characters in Iondom, especially the Queen. And the Queen attacked Frank back in 71, 72. She stopped his orchestra rehearsing and playing for his movie 200 Motels. So he eventually had to go to court against them, against the Queen. And it was like 74, 75, 2 years later. So there's a couple of articles I have in my collection where Frank describes what happens in court. They would be reading the absurd lyrics of his songs, and they weren't pornographic, but the Queen didn't care. And Zappa basically won the trial, but because nobody can beat the Queen in England, he lost. You see? I mean, they said, yeah, Frank, you're right. This is stupid. The complaint's stupid, but nobody loses. Nobody beats the Queen, so it's rigged. You lose. So he has the Queen in his life. He's up against the Queen, so he puts it in this play. Great Britain was to be represented by dancers dressed as football hooligans misinterpreting signals from the Queen, who was waving a mechanical cardboard arm through a passing car. Then it says America was to be represented by a group of tourists. So Great Britain is represented by football hooligans. America is represented by tourism, who line up at a phone booth with a sign on it that reads, "Talk to God."
Talk to the
IR. Yeah. So they're going to talk to God. That's what Americans are interested in, the technology that will help them talk to God. Each tourist would get to ask a single question, and there are six all-important questions. Did I wake you up? So when you talk to God, you can say, did I wake you up? Or you can go, what time is it there? Or you can say, how much is that in dollars? These are all practical American tourist questions, right?
No, but actually, they're very ionic, in, like the Finnegan's Wake, the giant that is going to wake wake up with this, all
that's
this
right.
information.
And Finnegan's, there's one question in Finnegan's Wake, which leads to scandal in Phoenix Park, is the CAD asks Humphrey Chimpton Earwicker, what time is it? And when Zapp is interviewed by himself, Much Music in Toronto set him up as a 40s reporter interviewing himself. And the first question is, what do you really want to know? And Frank looks away off camera and goes, what time is it? And it's like he's not answering the question. He's distracted by what time it is. Or it is what he wants to know, but he's not looking at the reporter when he says it. He wants to know what time it is.
But this, what time is it? There is no time. And he's
that's
playing
right.
with that in all his compositions and the remixing, the overdubbing, in the never-ending
now you'll
work.
Like this. The never-ending work. So guess what the fourth... The fourth question.
But the other was how much that cost in dollars.
Yes.
And the symbol of money comes from the,
oh, yeah.
according to Nicolas Flamel, this is the crucified snake. That is symbol of money means that
right.
time is dead. So
well,
they knew from the beginning there is no money. There is no,
that's right.
no time.
And
so
did I wake you up? Did you become aware? Did I wake you up? So these are cosmic questions disguised as practical things.
So
these
are real things that if you ask from the Ionic point of view, it's like, you are the God.
Right. You are the God, and you're asking some fake God.
Did you
but
woke
this
up?
Fourth question... Yeah, did you wake up?
Do you know there is
no
time, there is no money? But you are asking these things, like he's asking that in an ironic way.
Yes.
Because these are the things that the opposite of these questions are actually what Ion is talking about.
I agree. But look at the fourth question. This one, though, you better sit down for this one, Roxy. Are you sitting?
Yes, now.
Are you sitting? Yes. Here's the fourth question. Is that a castle or what?
Oh, my God. Is that a castle? And you
is
know
that a castle or what?
Louis
we've spent our time in Paris.
In many songs, he quotes this song, Louis, like the king of France.
That's right. But you guys get this? The importance of the castle. Hey. Yeah, we don't want to hear your indifference. You're in and out. You're not qualified to be objecting.
Got a castle.
What?
The Reichensteins have got a castle.
Yeah, you got castles. But McLuhan said the citadel of consciousness will never be affected by media. So God is not affected, and so he's in the citadel. He's in the castle. And so the tourist looks at God's place. And remember, how could he see? He must be able to see something. It must be a Skype phone, you know, because you can see. You're looking at where God lives. Is that a castle or what? But it made Roxy lucky she was sitting down, right? You heard her scream. She took that personally.
My question is, why didn't they ask, where's the bathroom?
Yeah. Well, there's two,
no, because,
another two questions. Two more questions, Ryder.
The Louvre is just a castle, but it's actually a parallel world operation. They're preparing
right.
the world.
So it looks like a castle.
So
the Louvre starts as a castle, you're saying, right? The Louvre starts as a castle.
Well, most people think it's the castle that was used by Frank when he was in Paris. And that's why it was. But they don't know it's only the beginning of the whole project of building the giant temple of Luxor.
They think it's a castle. The people think it's a castle.
And putting all the cultural heritage objects that are going to be analyzed by the
right.
particle accelerator when they finish the crystal pyramids. So that's.
Are you saying that the people in Paris thought the Louvre originally was a castle, just a place for him to live in? They didn't know what the purpose was.
Yes, that's what everybody says. Frank the First lived in Fontainebleau, usually most of the time. But he lived in the Louvre when he was in Paris, and when he went hunting, he went to Chambord. That's what they tell.
And when he would go to Blois before Chambord, right?
Yes, well, the court was always traveling around. So
right.
There are other castles that were built by ancestors or other kings, and he will also be there. But most of the time was Fontainebleau, the Louvre. And once in a while, he will go to check on Chambord because...
But near Chambord was Blois, B-L-O-I-S, and that was an important castle. They
yes,
have a sign there. If you're standing in Blois, there's a sign that says you're standing in the center of the universe. Right?
Yeah, he built the stairs.
You
remember?
He built the stairs?
Yes. Do you remember we came in and there was these white stairs? And...
At Blois?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Because, yeah, it's an important place. And nobody explained to me why a sign said there, you stand here, you're standing in the center of the universe. That's what it says in Blois. So are you ready?
Why not?
The next part. We're watching, we're tracking Gail. She's going over looking at something. What?
It's probably the beginning with how long the meter is.
Yeah. Something. We certainly don't need to know that anymore, do we?
I have the impression I don't put things in things you were going to look into, like Marshall McLuhan, Jim Jones, and Frank Zappa.
Yeah.
Like, these little crumbs are everywhere.
Yes. He knows the crumbs. He's looking at the design hidden in the crumbs. Oh, reminds me, when you were talking about Zappa and the accelerator and subatomic particles, Zappa, what did he do? Oh, yeah. When he was with the synthesizer, the Synclavier, he was analyzing what he called digital dust, the afterimage of whatever would be called sound. You were talking about the crumbs. He called it digital dust, that he was composing with nothingnesses in the digital computerized structure. Okay? Working with nothing. Sculpting non-physical. So, the fifth question, what's the weather like there?
<It's raining>.
Yeah. And then the last question.
Why are they saying there if they're there?
They don't know they're there. They're talking to God. They think he's far away. They're on the phone to God.
We always talk about the thunders and the vortices, the vortex.
Yeah, the vortex.
So
right.
What's the weather? I
hear that's right,
the thunders.
That's right. There's the thunder echo. That's right. And you know, when Debbie from Boston calls in, the know nothing, she'll ask Ion, "Did you go to sleep today? When did you wake up? What's the weather like there in Iandome?" She asks questions like that. Yeah, yeah. Does Ion eat? Are you making... Is that Carol? Who's making the noise? That's Carol because she's coming in our proximity. I've just almost finished, Carol. So, yeah. The fifth question. What's the weather like there? The last question is, when are you coming to America? Now, these are typical mainstream media
interviews. You became a citizen.
Oh, that's a good point. I like the way Roxy related to Iandome at any level. That's right. We have answered Zappa's question. We have come to America. But these are kind of questions on The View. What's your latest project? Oh, you're doing it in Hawaii? What's the weather like there? You know, what?
How much did it cost?
Yeah, how much did it cost? What are your plans when this is done?
And how long did it take?
Yeah. And did you go to jail? Yeah. You had to put up with these questions in your interviews, right, Reiner? And Roxy certainly did. Are you really a Mexican princess? What was it like? Did you grow up as a castle? Right, Roxy? Didn't they ask you questions like that when you were a rock star in 1990?
Yes.
Where are you, Roxy? You're hiding?
I'm just
Yes. When are you coming to America, Roxy?
I was already there, and I left.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is interesting. That is, you could say that TV, you travel by TV every day. You go where the shows are, and you deal with this mundane intellectual level of those shows.
Andy Warhol did it really well, where he said, "You tell me the question."
Yeah. Yeah. I just read when he sent out this young guy to be him at lecture circuits in the mid '60s. Warhol sent out a double who would sort of look like, and I met him at a party somewhere. I think it was at the Punk magazine reunion, and he talked to me a bit about it. And it came up on the McLuhan site somehow, McLuhan Forum. But Andy was then interviewed, if I can find it, I'll play it, after that. And the stupidest, like, why did you do it? Well, I thought he was smarter than me. He could do me better than, that's worth, it's fantastic how he answers the reporters. He's being interrogated by the university people when he goes to Oregon. Now he's been caught, they caught the guy, so now he has to go and do it. And in the middle of it, the interview, the administrator comes over, they test him, they check his body pulse or something, show us your ID, right in the interview. They show him his birth certificate. And he's pretending to be quite befuddled, but what's your problem? So what, I said some of these, the guy's better than me, he's smarter. What are you complaining about? What, Roxy?
Yes, are these questions asked to the liar God?
Yeah.
Who is asking?
Oh, these questions? These are tourists. See, Great Britain was represented by football hooligans, dancers dressed as football hooligans who were misinterpreting signals from the Queen. America was to be represented by a group of tourists who line up at a phone booth with a sign on that reads, at this phone booth, "Talk to God." So each one of the tourists got to ask one question. And the all-important questions were, did I wake you up? What time is it there? How much is that in dollars? Is that a castle or what? What's the weather like there? And when are you coming to America?
That's a parody of Payday. Like, we
yes,
home.
Yeah, yeah. What are you talking to Ian about?
The degrees of separation.
Yeah. That's right. Okay, so that is the script of DO5. Isn't that awesome? What an awesome concept. He really, for a pre-internet Android meme, he was including all the mixed corporate media. It's much like McLuhan's play that he laid out. He's showing the process of information society consuming itself. And the chemical body tourists and the hooligans up against the media icons and the football championships and football god and Michael Jansen and the videos. And nasal growth syndrome. So that's almost like a parody of disease. People who lie get sick. And it involved a lot of negotiations with the city of Milan, the city of Chicago, which is like the guy Christos. What's the guy who does the wrappings? He has to negotiate with...
Oh, that's Christo. Yeah.
Christo, yeah. He has to negotiate with local bureaucracies to put up his wrappings. So he's showing the negotiation with the bureaucracies as part of the corporate artist. The artist as an individual up against global tribalism. I want to just see if I can quickly bring in the Warhol press conference. Let's see. Hey, Carolyn, we're now interested in your opinions. We're now talking about nothing. You don't have to know anything about. So, you have anything you want to tell us about what you're interested in?
Nope.
Won't even participate on that level.
We have plenty of so-called experts.
Ask him to tell you the answers, and then you'll tell him the question.
Right. Okay. So we go over to Bob, and we scroll down to the Warhol. Did you post the Warhol thing, Roxy? Who posted that?
No.
You didn't do that. So what would have been the topic? I think it was on the McLuhan site. I had to be careful. I had, you know, I had to be careful what I said. I could be accused of self-promotion, so I just gave the harmless anecdote of I met the guy, and I don't remember much of what we talked about. Oh, and that he was quite young now. I mean, he looked good. This guy who played Warhol was pretty healthy looking in 2007. So we go over to Marcia McLuhan Facebook page, scroll down. There's nothing but posts by Roxy. Roxy floods the fucking Facebook page with her shit, and I'm accused of bringing my cult members in. Because Roxy can't stop posting every fucking eye on things she can think of. Ah, here it is.
No, I am not.
No?
I only posting in the Socratic group. I don't post anymore anything in that group.
Yeah, you don't do the McLuhan site. You're so sick of them. Okay, here's Warhol. Now we have to make sure it's going to come through. You guys hear this? So we have to make this quite, this is a little blurry. I will read you the questions.
Andy, do you really think you'd get away with this?
First question, how do you think you were, how did you think you would get away with this? how's the weather there, Andrew, Andy? But besides that, they go, how did you really think you would get away with this? And this is at the University of Oregon, 1968.
You make something midget out on
the tour in place of Well, I never thought of getting away with, you know, anything.
What do you mean?
He says, I never thought of getting away with anything. What do you mean? Is what he says. Yeah, that's where he says, well, I actually thought Alan would do a better job. I wasn't trying to get away with anything, so... I will redo it. We will hear. I'm telling you what he's saying, then we'll redo it, and we can hear him.
Alan would do a better job, and people would really enjoy him.
Did you actually think that
See, that's where he acts the non-entity artist. Right when everybody's into the creative process and worshiping cultures or business, the artist, he's acting real dumb as an anti-environment. And he says, I thought he would be much better. I think you would enjoy him much better than me.
Which is probably true.
Yeah. But he gets charisma by doing this kind of stuff. Okay, it's spinning. You got to put it back a bit.
I thought, you know, Alan would do a better job than people would.
Spinning again. Maybe I got to go to a bigger setup. Don't you hate it when it gets stuck in spinning? Hey?
Yeah.
One of the irritations of today's life. Damn, fucking YouTube got stuck.
It's called the shuffle, Bob.
Yeah, the YouTube starts doing a shuffle. Warhol at UO. At UO. Yeah, there it is. Here we go.
Andy, do you really think you'd get away with this gimmick of sending a midget out on the tour in place of you?
Well, I never thought of getting away with, you know, anything.
What do you mean?
Well, I actually thought, you know, Alan would do a better job and people would really enjoy him trying to it.
Did you actually think that nobody would ever tumble to it, that it wasn't really you?
So he says, did you actually think that nobody would figure this out? That it really wasn't you? That's the question.
Yeah. No, well, I hadn't, really hadn't thought about it.
Could you speak up a little?
I hadn't thought about it. It's the most bland thing you could say. Well, I hadn't even thought about anybody getting away with anything. Wait, there's more, Gail. There's more.
No, we really...
Then they show Warhol. He's doing the interview, but now he takes his camera and starts photographing everybody around him. He's documenting.
What a guy.
So then he says, no, we really work very hard. So now he's going to explain the role of the artist. We work very hard.
We work very hard. We never think of things like that.
They never think of things like that, about whether they're real or not. They're too busy working hard. Oh, okay, look. Now the guy comes over to test him, and Andy's like standing back. And I think he's asking him to swear, you know what I mean? Like on a Bible. Yeah, the guy says, now do you solemnly swear that you are Andy Warhol? Okay, just go back a bit so you can hear that.
Do you solemnly swear that you are Andy Warhol?
Thank you very much.
He smirks. He goes, yes, I swear, and then mumbles something, and he's smirking.
Andrew.
Could you state what's that? Could you state your name?
Andrew.
Andrew. And he looks away disgusted. He didn't say the whole name. He just said Andrew.
Said Andrew.
Yeah. And he looks away pissed off. So isn't that great? That's your modern artist is nothing. Up against nothing. For nothing. Anywhere, anything, for no reason at all. So are we finished? I will now play you fucking Ion stuff that will blow your mind because it all relates to these topics. It was pretty. Now, how are you guys for traveling time?
Good.
You okay? No big deal? Okay. What are you laughing at, Roxy? Was that you mocking us?
No, you said that we're going to be freaked out by...
Yes, I'm predicting the effect.
I was going to say, but this whole weekend was for me already like that. Like, I was reading from cliché to archetype, and then he mentions that, and I was also reading about the guy that named the quark because of the quote. And
Murray Gell-Mann. Like,
also talking about the quark.
You enjoy From Cliché to Archetype, the book?
Yes, because I think, you have to reread these books several times because as you are exploring the different spaces, the different landscapes, you go back and then you get something else. Like, as I was reading the book, I was thinking about Frank Zappa and how he connects.
Right.
How... Right. He could not be just a contemporary music composer or a rock star. He had to write for a band, for an orchestra, and for the studio, for the machines.
Yeah, and he also was a scientist in the ionic sense.
Because he's the result of this zapping the TV and the radio. And you have all
zapping
these quotes all these cliches and archetypes all mix in a big collage of music.
Now, listen to this, Roxy. McLuhan said that the book From Cliché to Archetype came out late 1970, early 71, was way more important than understanding media. And even to this day, they just say, Marshall McLuhan, the author of Understanding Media, Gumball Galaxy. They just talk about that. They don't know. The fucking guy said, no, this is a more important book. It also was autobiographical, right where he was. He was now really famous globally, but people were losing interest in him, and there was an orchestration to make him look bad. So he's actually autobiographical. He's talking about the process of him becoming a cliché to archetype.
Yes, because, for example, in the pages where he mentions the scientist that talks about resonance and the bonding of the particles.
Linus Pauling.
Yes, and Heisenberg.
And he goes into
other things, and it's like, why is he talking about this? It's like, the first time it was like, I don't really get why he's mentioning the resonance. But then, the resonance that from the it's like iron. It's the resonance in the outer kingdom. and if the resonance at the level of the particles and the alchemies and the communication, how these particles are communicating with polarities, magnetism, frequencies.
Yeah.
And how we are communicating also, like Frank Zappa, he uses the speech and the gesture to give sometimes some meaning of to what he's saying. He makes like an effect with an instrument or a gesture, and that makes the text more pornographic or funnier or whatever. He's adding
right.
these levels of meaning.
And a gesture is so, really important. He in the previous document on conceptual continuity, where he lays it out in 71, you know, almost 20 years before this thing, in the play he lays out, there is the Atlantic Ocean is filled up with tiny little needles, little pinheads. And he says, I unhooked Bert, so we're going to get Bert's commentary here and giggling. He represents the novice, the guy first hearing this stuff, you know. He's the one getting his mind blown, Bert, right here, giggling. So he says, Zappa says, in one of those needles, of the billions of needles that made up most of the European continent and Atlantic Ocean, there is a studio and the pinhead of one of the needles. And if you get in there, you will see that the conductor, meaning himself, who's leading the band, will make a special gesture with his eyebrow. That's the secret knowledge you're looking for. The secret gesture is a fucking movement of the eyeball.
I find it very revealing that he's using high culture and low culture, mixing everything. And then his last word is about the big note.
Yes.
How there is music at this quantum level with the particles, the frequencies
that
are communicating and moving things. And at the level of our awareness, but there is other music that we are not aware of. But Ion has been telling us about the bonding of the element, how the elements are changing, and
the covalent bonding and the ion bonding.
Ionic.
Let me tell you this: McLuhan would point out that developments in psychology, Freud, or developments in physics, Einstein, developments in painting, Picasso, developments in business and how it organizes corporations, he'd run across the whole society and say, look, they all have the same structure because the radio environment makes it be that way, the structure of radio. They're all miming it. So Frank fucking makes that music. He covers all the activities across the society and then makes it a soundscape, whereas McLuhan basically paints with the alphabet collages on each page. So he presents the eye, and Zappa presents, well, you could say tactile eye, and Zappa presents the tactile ear. He makes the music, what it sounds like to be in a society where all that's happening and resonating the football god, which is the present entertainment archetype that dominates world attention. Football god.
Yes, the last 2 weeks were this thing about the AO one.
The AO TV show.
The meme of the week. And
the
they
meme
are
of the
showing
week is the AO.
These gestures. And we go into the other types of speech. How
we've been corrected by Carolyn. It's the OA, not AO, not Alpha Omega. It's going backwards like Ian recommends, Omega Alpha.
Well, I just think about the letters.
Yes, the letters. But come to think of it, does your video got it wrong? Do you go IOA or IAO on your quintessence video?
Mm-hmm. She goes IAO.
Well,
no,
she
because,
gets it backwards.
No, because it's like, that's how I first got this thought.
Mm-hmm.
When
okay.
I was writing, I was in my head, like, hearing I-O-A. Like, that's
right.
The Adonai. Like,
it's a great video,
they were
great video.
Saying
I know.
The vowels. It's not the order, but the vowels.
Right.
I
the vowels.
O A.
I say some profound things in these videos, Reiner. It's if you're going to use the mouth,
yes.
I come up with the best mouth. And you got, I got Bert
yes.
here to prove that.
But then it's like a new expansion that we, these gestures, is like the magician dish
yeah.
gestures that communicate with the elements, with nature. It's not only the communication with humans. So
the first 15 minutes blew my head. The first 15 minutes
what
blew
Bert?
My head off. The first
is
15
right?
minutes of the video blew my head off when you were outlining the technology
media.
And the intelligence. The media and
the different
intelligence.
The history of intelligence.
Wow.
Yeah, the
that
history
was
of intelligence.
Like,
right.
Wow.
And did you see that the woman who stars in the OA and directs it, she's all over the media this week. And there's videos
yes.
explaining the movements, the arrhythmic stuff or something. And meanwhile, we got Ion explaining it deeper, wider, and blah, blah, blah. But that's like McLuhan and Zappa. They're commenting on what's a fad, what's the meme of the week, the Android meme. And we've got the McLuhan, the Zappa, the Joyce, the Wyndham Lewis talking about it in new ways, all the levels.
Yes.
Like Ion will correct, he will correct the gestures in the videos that they're popularizing or show what the symbols embedded in it. I mean, is it? And the symbols are mimed by the gestures. They're not written in the show. The body movements are doing our symbols. That we got, that Chad was dreamed to Chad. You know, we got Ionauts now saying, you know, Ion's speaking to them, dreaming to them, or part of the dreams like Roxy. Chad was the first, as far as we know, to get communication from Ion. He'd get these symbols and he'd just send them to us. And then we added, and then we put them together. Bert is another level of alteration. He gets told by Ion what's going to happen, then his body fucking mutates during the week.
And I've been told poop sitting on the wall. So,
yes, that is the way he pointed out trigonometry
and the way the notion of the wave, right? And it's almost
yeah.
like the gravity
yeah.
wave too.
Well, the basic movement of the wheel on the wall gives you the basic knowledge in algebra and maybe geometry.
For sure.
It gives you the way angles are found and how you analyze the angles.
I found that as a visualization for the visually biased like myself. Limited.
Right. He gave you the one that you'd like or
the one I
fits
could
you.
Relate to, and
yeah.
that to me was kind of like a dream transmission as well. So
yeah.
it was totally lucid when he described it. So
right. So there can be conscious dreaming with Ion live on Payday or sleeping, what you think is sleeping, and Ion speaks to you. You know that image, Bert, of the wheel turning, and it shows the creation of sine waves and circumference and how basic.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you've seen that. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so I've got to – let's just see if anybody else wants to speak. Madeline? Here's somebody, 661. Who's that? And here's Daniel in Montreal. Here's an anonymous. Jean, Sean, oh, who's that? Shah. Any of you guys want to say
Sean,
anything?
Sean, good evening.
Good evening, Shah. You're in London.
Oh, good morning here in London, 8:10 a.m.
Well, that's fucking rude to bring up time here, Shah.
No, that's one of the. What time is it?
How's
how
the
is
weather
there?
Is that a castle? Is that a castle, Shah, or what?
Well, I'm not Plato. Not
how much is that in dollars? How much is your talk going to cost us?